From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Got a little bit of a camera issue, so Neil is working on that. So you might see a frozen image. We'll see whatever you see, but we'll get it fixed. We'll be with you here in a second on the live stream, and we're already here with you on the podcast. We'll look back at the weekend that was in the SEC. Obviously, 52-51 Ole Miss over the Hogs. Crazy night in College Station and much more. And then look at lines and look ahead to the your reaction was great in the stream. Looking ahead to the week and Ole Miss and Tennessee, 6:30 SEC Network, Lane's trip back to Knoxville and more. So that coming up on the show. The show brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember to head on over to social media after you head to the Blue Sky location. You need to take a selfie. You need to take that selfie. You need to tag Oxford Exxon on Twitter. You need to hashtag Blue Sky Rebels. And you get automatically entered into a chance to win an official Ole Miss football helmet. That and much more. You know about lunch specials, Speed Pass Plus apps, and all that good stuff there at all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi, including the Oxford Exxon. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest is completely up to you. You can shop it around. You can do what I've done, but I recommend that you do. Let's hop into a Clark Ford today, 662-257-1900. Guest, join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline, Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. They'll be open all week, all weekend, as Ole Miss hits the road this weekend, but you could go to Rafters before the game, during the game, maybe even after the game, whatever the case may be, Ole Miss and Tennessee, but you can enjoy great burgers and po' boys, appetizers, all of that at Rafters Music and Food, great beer selection, full bar, the whole deal, Rafters Music and Food in Oxford, Rafters New Albany, and Rafters on the water at Sardis.
Correct. So, places to jump in. Again, we'll get into lines. We'll get into some different stuff as far as a little bit of housekeeping. A lot of stuff at rebelgrove.com. Neil's 10 thoughts. Snap counts went up this morning. All the post-game coverage from Saturday's Thriller in Oxford. Lane Kiffin will speak around noon today. And then just before that is typically when we find out game times. Ole Miss and LSU up next for a game time. It's the first or second best game of the day in a really bad slate, depending on how you want to rate Alabama and Tennessee for the weekend. So, frankly, anything is on the table right now. I don't know what will come of that. Ole Miss and Tennessee, 6:30 SEC Network this weekend. So, just
personally, I think 6:30, and I watch it be 6:30 for sure. And if it is, it is. I'm not. This is not me cheering. I don't really care. 2:30 and 11 feel lots more realistic to me than 6:30. It's
got an 11 feel simply, I think, too, because it's such an easy story right there, and mm-hmm. you can grab some eyes early out of game day with the Kiffin-Tennessee angle because that's enough of a college football national story to run into that 11 o'clock.
You talking about for next week?
Oh, no, crap, never mind. Yeah, never mind. I'm losing my mind. LSU, unless you're doing the Orgeron thing, frankly – there's not a storyline in that game.
The storyline
and ESPN's not going to do the Orgeron thing.
Nope.
So that's the problem. Is it's kind of a dud game from what are we actually promoting? What are we actually talking about?
Yeah, their problem is they don't have any other games that day.
Yeah, I know.
Because you've got,
I mean, it's a really bad slate.
You've got Arkansas versus Pine Bluff. That's going to be the 3 p.m. SEC Network game. You've got Mississippi State Vanderbilt in Nashville. That's got 6:30 written all over it. You've got South Carolina, Texas A&M, which has a little more appeal, except South Carolina's so terrible. That's it, man.
But it's really bad.
It's really bad. So you've got Alabama, Tennessee, and Ole Miss, LSU, the only 2:30 options that you have. And whichever one is not the 2:30 game, ESPN's going to want that for an 11 o'clock game, unless they just pass on having an 11 o'clock game.
And I don't think they could do that, can they?
I don't know.
Ew. It's also a deal where it's where I would be tempted to do a – I know you can't every week, but for the TV networks, the six-day window would be really nice because, I mean, Tennessee could beat Ole Miss. LSU could look like a complete and utter freaking train wreck against Florida over the course of the weekend. They probably will. So, I mean, I don't know. It's whatever.
Well, I mean, and the realistic storyline is that after the Ole Miss game, LSU's got an open date to figure some things out.
Figure some things out, yeah. Make some changes. I made a thread on the board this morning, yesterday, one or the other. And, I mean, the jokes write themselves. I will say, in a serious moment, obviously Texas A&M knocked off Alabama. I was glad to see the kicker family video when they were showing his family on the sidelines. We, maybe not we, but everybody needs the reminder occasionally that these are people. These are not robots that are just here to maximize our
I do
our,
not
our
need
weekend.
That reminder.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm incredibly good with that.
I kind of saw it and I went, you know, in a day of a lot of football, that was the coolest thing I saw today.
Sure.
The emotion and just how it's not one person. There's so much that goes into the families and the sacrifices and the efforts and everything to get to that point and have that moment. And especially for a kicker, you're sitting there with the ball on your foot in this freaking environment and all these different things on it. It was neat. I kind of watched it like 10 times in a row this morning.
And when he first kicked it, I thought he missed it.
Because it's like a knuckleball thing. I mean, it did not come off his foot very good at all.
I thought he missed it. I thought, oh my God, he pushed it.
Yeah.
Actually hooked it. Whatever the golf term is.
Yeah.
I thought he'd hooked it. Yeah. And then it kind of
leveled
straightened back out.
Yeah,
and I was
yeah.
like, oh my God, he made it.
It was a wacky game. In a day that was nuts. I don't know what it means. I mean, we'll get into all this. We'll come back to Ole Miss and Arkansas because we'll talk plenty about the lines of those two games coming up this weekend, Arkansas, Auburn, Ole Miss, Tennessee. But from an Alabama, Tennessee, Texas A&M standpoint, Texas A&M, as you said before we started, they dominated the lines of scrimmage. They were more physical than Alabama. The Quesada kid was a hell of a gamer on Saturday night, especially in those final two drives there late. Had a good first half, had hit a lull, then kind of found it after that as well. But it just shows that college football is screwy. It shows that matchups are so critical in games, that some teams are awful or good matchups or whatnot. But from a relevance looking forward to the rest of the season, the two things that it did is, does Alabama now have to beat Georgia to get into the playoff?
Yes.
And then two,
they should.
Spinning it back locally, is good. It was probably a really good day for Matt Corral. Because you get a loss on Bryce Young. If you're doing the Heisman thing on trying to finish as high as you can, it opened it all back up.
Yeah, it's kind of back where it was before the Ole Miss Alabama game. Yeah. It's Bryce Young's a slight favorite at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they were both minus 200 yesterday, which is overwhelming favorites.
Yeah,
that tells you there's nobody else in the field right now.
I wrote about this yesterday. There's only about three other guys, maybe four other guys that are even technically in the mix.
You're going to see some push for the Michigan State running back.
Sure.
You're about to see a big push there.
But he's got some big games that he's going to have to do it against big teams. Robinson at Texas is a great back.
Yes, he's a phenomenal
but
back.
But they've already lost twice.
Yeah.
And
running backs, it's hard to win.
Yeah, so he would have to do something just – freaking amazing, like have some 500-yard rushing game or something. Yeah, they don't have many big games left. Look, Matt's deal is he's going to have some really big road night on national television. Like, he's got to have some big game at Auburn, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to have a really big game against A&M. Frankly, A&M didn't. Matt's Heisman hopes a double favor.
Yeah, because now he gets to do the
Now A&M becomes more relevant. If A&M loses to Alabama and then goes on and loses a couple more, by the time they get to Oxford at the end of November, they're not particularly relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a chance to be relevant. It's just really fickle when you think about if Arkansas converts a 2-point play. Corral still has that amazing game, and yet I don't really know that we're talking about it that much because they would have just gone 0-2 in the league.
I know. I mean, it's so dumb in so many ways.
I mean, you know, I mean, speaking of things that were kind of neat to see,
yeah.
I know everybody got tired of the announcing crew talking about KJ Jefferson's family from Sardis.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, they go to that well too many times. But after the game, his family was out there in the parking lot.
Yeah.
KJ silenced a lot of critics. Which is always good to see. A lot of people are like, oh, he's this one-dimensional kid who can't play. Nah, pretty good. Getting better. Getting better week by week.
He's getting better. He's got to show consistency on short and intermediate passing because, frankly, that would if he was any better, their offense would become incredibly dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, incredibly dynamic.
Just a sophomore.
The long ball's good. It is. He's got a really good deep ball. I mean, he just – you know, there was two throws that he had to have wanted back. And now maybe they scored on at least one of those possessions anyway. I'm not really sure. But the two short to intermediate passes that were so far off that I remember were the key ones where – especially in a shootout like that against an Ole Miss and against a Matt Corral, it was going to require damn near perfection. And
right.
You know, got close to it. You know, so, yeah, I didn't have a big problem with the radio call at the end for Eli.
He said, I'm going to let the crowd tell you what happens.
Yeah.
And then he did. And if you were listening, driving in your car in Selligent or wherever, you knew he'd made the kick.
Yeah. I mean, did he downplay the loss? Sure, but you had to expect that going in. I mean, it was not unprofessional per se.
Well, and they lose so rarely that the loss almost becomes the call.
Yeah. What'd you make of it? I mean,
thank you, Jay. It's very nice of you, buddy.
Do you think?
What did I think of the call?
No. Alabama takes A&M. Like, did it tell you anything about either one of those teams moving forward, though, that you didn't already know?
No. It tells you that what I knew going in, which is that Alabama's kind of susceptible at the line of scrimmage. They're not as dominant up front on defense as they've been in the past. Texas A&M had Elko had a really good blitz package that worked for about three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Took Alabama a long time to catch up to it, and they finally did. And look, you got to feel pretty good for Calzada, right? This kid that's been just beaten up and beaten up and beaten up. And I mean, everybody's like, oh, he sucks. He doesn't suck. It's hard.
Yeah.
Being a quarterback is hard at this level. And if you're not super sharp, you struggle. And this was his first experience with starting, and he struggled. But he made some big throws in that game. And give A&M credit, man. I mean, they just lost to Mississippi State. They lost to Mississippi State in that stadium a week earlier. And they had pointed at that game for a long time, and by God, they delivered. Give them credit.
If he's serviceable, they're a good football team. They're not a great football team, but they're a very damn good football team.
Well, Spiller is a legitimate back. In a league full of legitimate backs right now.
They need to make sure he's good. He got a little banged up there at the end where I was beginning to wonder if they had a little bit of a hip thing.
And like Hardman here says, Calzada has a big-time arm. And what happened, I think, was that A&M realized we're not going to win unless we let him throw it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's let him throw it. He made the one really bad read where he threw it right to an Alabama guy and it got picked. But other than that, he played a really good game. And if you watched that game, and I watched a good bit of it, I was watching LSU-Kentucky because I was just enjoying what was happening on that field, if I'm honest.
Yeah, sure.
Because there are people in the media that do this thing of LSU's got the greatest athletes, and boy, they got the greatest athletes, and boy, their athletes are so great. LSU's one of the most dysfunctionally coached teams I've seen in a long time. But in Kentucky, by the way, Mark Stoops, kudos to them. I mean, they pointed at those two games, Florida and LSU, and they got them both. And congrats, 6-0. And
yeah, sure.
I mean, it's
they have a very legitimate path to 10-2, 11-1, Sugar Bowl kind of.
Sure,
thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But back to was I talking about A&M?
Yeah.
A&M controlled the line of scrimmage. A&M defensively threw Bryce Young off a little bit, and then Alabama did something that I'll never understand, that I'm sure it's going to be a big topic of conversation in that state today. I think it was first and goal at the 5, and they threw it 3 times. ended up having to kick. You were running the ball at that point. Run the ball. This is a league full of really good running backs right now. I mean, I know there's a lot of attention on Corral, and deservedly so, because I think he's the best player in the country, certainly on the offensive end. But, man, there's some really good backs in this league. The kid at the two of them at Auburn.
Yeah.
There's the kid at Kentucky Devontae had a big Smoke. Game.
Yeah.
Ole Miss has at least two really good running backs. The Burks kid at – not Burks. What's his name? Trayvon or Traylon Smith or whatever at Arkansas, who ran for 130-something the other day. He's Robinson at Alabama.
Well, I mean, the guy who led the league in rushing last year, we never talked. He's on a bad team. But, I mean, South Carolina. I mean, you know what I mean? There's dudes everywhere. I mean, it's across the league.
Spiller at A&M. There are a bunch of really good backs in this league. And you can run the football if you can control the line of scrimmage.
I know kicking has been a disaster for Alabama over the years.
Yeah, and UGA's got backs, as Brian says. They got everything.
But what stuck out to me the most from this game is it's what you don't see from Alabama very often is them making mistakes or losing on game-changing plays. They win that game as they simply don't allow a kick return for a touchdown, but they get out of their gaps right there.
That's A&M what kept busted. A&M in it.
Yeah, the game's over. I mean, Alabama wins that football game if they don't return that for a touchdown.
Because Alabama right blocked a punt, recovered it in the end zone for a touchdown, and at that point you went, okay, well, I know what's coming now.
Yeah, sure. And then they got it right back. It was the momentum change. It was the sudden change back. I mean, you can't convince me otherwise. Alabama absolutely wins that football game without that kickoff return.
Oh, for sure.
By the way, for
the special teams coach at Texas A&M, when he watches that film, it moves.
Oh, well, yeah.
That thing was drawn up.
Yeah.
And if you've ever played special teams, and I did eons ago, it never works out the way you draw it up. They drew that thing up to hit one hole right here, and then he was off to the races. And by God, they executed it literally to the centimeter perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
The coach just watches that over and over and over. He's the one I'm having a hard time turning the page to this week. He would like to watch.
It's like the test film. We're just going to keep having that one.
Right after he watches the punt get blocked, where they just completely don't pick up two guys.
Yeah. Anyway, we're getting Lions, get a couple of things.
Oh, can we do Avery's on to something? Uh-huh. I noticed this Saturday.
What's that?
Avery says, did anyone see Saban's halftime interview? He sounded old to me for the first time.
I did not see
it. I thought Saturday night, and I've kind of thought this the last few weeks, Saban has had some – look, Father Time gets everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Saban's had some old man moments.
Oh.
And don't get me wrong, they didn't lose to Texas A&M because they were hungover.
No.
But I thought his focus for Ole Miss was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was overly sharp.
Okay.
And I don't know when you do that you can turn the page the way
he created an emphasis that was imbalanced.
It was one of the things, I said this last week to you. I didn't say it on this show because I just get killed. Lane Kiffin was still tweeting about Alabama on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, boy, anybody who thinks this game against Arkansas is going to be a blowout, Saban in the past turns the page faster. I thought he gloated a little after beating Ole Miss, which is not a Nick Saban thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you let Lane get in his head.
Yeah, we let Lane get in his head a little bit. And I do think that does impact – you're building, especially when you're a guy like Saban
is so robotic.
He's been there forever.
Yeah.
You know, like Kiffin's only been at Ole Miss a year and a half. If Mark Stoops suddenly treats a game like this is the Super Bowl, well, that's going to go through that program because he's been there. Every one of those kids was recruited by him, has played for him, the whole deal.
Yeah.
There is no transition still.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
But Grind's right here. Alabama lost that game the way that Alabama loses games. If you think about it, you beat at the line of scrimmage, quarterback with the big arm who can go down the field.
And you get sudden change plays.
Yeah. Calzada's got a big arm. They won the line of scrimmage, and they had some sudden change plays.
Yeah, there's a path. It's one path every time. Go to Lions in a minute. A couple other things. Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So your local underwriting and understand your market. a leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Walk-On Sports Bistro. They put everything they've got into bringing you game day with the taste of Louisiana. Dig into their mouth-watering Louisiana cuisine like po' boys, gumbo, and voodoo shrimp, plus fan favorites like juicy burgers, fresh salads, quality fresh ingredients you can't help but crave. Coming soon next month, Walk-On Sports Bistro, more than a restaurant, 1737B University Avenue in Oxford. We're also brought to you by Brothrow. It's a sports, social sports betting network. It's free to use. There's no third party. It's a really cool, fun way to bet. There's no juice. Over time, that's going to save you money. You can start your own group, make friends, and invite your friends. Payment happens within 24 hours of the conclusion of your bet. You can take the other side of an existing bet, start a new bet, and more. Sign up today at bet.brothrow.com/MPW. I'll be bringing you some information from Muddy Water Camo. I'll try to put it on the message board today. Some new stuff from them. I'll talk to you about it all week long. I do know this. There's a 35% discount on products from the site. Free shipping on $100 or more at Muddy Water Camo. Lots of new products on the site now. They're brand new Muddy Water Lady Camo apparel as well. Go to muddywateroutdoors.com, enter the promo code REBELGROVE, get 35% off. You can get 25% off with the same coupon code REBELGROVE at checkout at DeadSoxy, deadsoxy.com, DeadSoxy.com. Best socks you'll ever put on your feet, including socks from their college collection. You'll love. Just go to the site, click on the state of Mississippi thing on the map, and check out those kind of Ole Miss branded socks, if you will, at deadsoxy.com. Also, Ole Miss and LSU next weekend in the Grove, three games in November in the Grove. Still plenty of time to sign up for 7 South tailgating services. They've got single game packages. They've got availability for all remaining home games. They provide the equipment, secure the spot, and set everything up for you. They also offer assistance with unloading, food, beverage delivery on game day, and more. The single game packages, for those who are interested, for the non-conference game that's left, Liberty, it's $225. For the remaining home games, which is LSU, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, those games, $325. 662-321-1682 or 7southtailgating.com. And, of course, speaking of tailgating, you want to make sure that you've got your Game Changer patch system ready for you. Game Changer Patch Company wants to help you prepare. They're the only two-patch system available in the market to stop hangovers before they start. The warm-up patch is used before or while you drink. The overtime patch is used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game and ready for the next play. Just go to GameChangerPatch.com, enter the promo code REBELGROVE20, that's REBELGROVE20, at checkout, and get 20% off your entire purchase. Also brought to you by ACS. ACS is owned by Clay McNutt in Baldwin, Mississippi. It's a complete electrical control system solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. They've got a full-time dedicated emergency service and troubleshooting staff and a UL508A panel shop. To learn more about ACS, go to www.acsllcms.com. ACSLLCMS.com or call 662-601-4381.
Almost be back in the Grove before you know it, so let Johnston Hill Creamery cater your tailgate. To find out more about that, you can go to the website at JohnstonHillCreamery.com or call 662-419-9201. They have an email at cheese@JohnstonHillCreamery.com, whether it's artisanal cheese trays, charcuterie trays, or additional add-ons, including spicy feta dip, spice honey, pepper jelly, all wonderful there. They've got house mustard and much more. They also got plenty of desserts. You've got hand pies. You've got blackberry cheesecake bars, homemade cannolis, and much, much more. So to go in, find out what's going on in their location. They're just off Molly Bar here in Oxford. Or again, give them a call, 662-419-9201. We'll get into lines in a minute, but Ross Dellinger had a story this morning. It's something we've talked about for a while, that there's a business element to this NIL that goes so far beyond just paying kids, helping kids, whatever it is that mostly gets generated in structure. And, you know, we talked about it a lot in the offseason from the standpoint of when you're entering into these contracts, you're trusting the kid to not get arrested, to not do things stupid, to not do criminal activity that puts your brand at risk because you are now associated. But what you're seeing now, and it's with two of the guys that you would have not expected this across the country, you would have thought their jobs were safe, guys getting benched or getting hurt where they're not on the field, they're not doing press conferences, they're deemed somewhat irrelevant after they have all this kind of money coming in, because, I mean, we're talking about two quarterbacks here that are getting at least $200,000 for the year apiece. Spencer Rattler, Derek King at Miami. King's got to have shoulder surgery. He's out for the season. Spencer Rattler gets benched for Casey Jones, is that his name, at Oklahoma over the weekend. He came in later in that comeback only to throw the two-point conversion. I mean, it's about the Heisman frontrunner going into the year. Sam Howell has been deemed fairly irrelevant in North Carolina. You're seeing a lot of situations where guys have put – or companies have put serious coin in dudes that just aren't playing very well, aren't doing much. And, I mean, that's it's life. There is so much life and business to this that's almost kind of – you know, you don't want to see anybody suck or whatever or get hurt. But there is this unintended or at least untalked about side that is pretty revealing and interesting and good for the kids to figure out right now, frankly.
Well, sure. And for businesses, it's one of the, I've had a lot of people say, are you surprised there aren't more deals with individual players? No. Because there's a lot
really
of,
trust.
There's a lot of risk in that. And guys get hurt. I mean, you know, if you were in Texas beginning of the year, Haynes King was wins the A&M job.
Mm-hmm.
You think, well, let's get him.
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt two series into week two. And I don't know when he's coming back, if he's coming back.
Was it Milo's that has Bo Nix?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you – oh, Ryan Brown and them have a deal with Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
And John Metchie, they couldn't afford Bryce Young. Which, after hearing some of the numbers, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Us. I mean, like when Chance Campbell's on the ground the other day, I'm like, well, this is not going to be good. You know, moving forward, I don't want Chance to get hurt because I like Chance the person. But, you know, for us, like if he's hurt, how does that work? You know, I mean,
what do we talk about even? Yeah. There's a lot of elements to it. Kenneth Morgan, thank you. Says, I know it was talked about on Saturday, but I was so impressed with the O-line. I've been really worried about that. It may have been their best game of the year as a unit.
It was their best game.
I thought Melton played pretty well. I thought Rhodes played pretty well. They split those snaps at that position. The other guys played all 72 snaps. That was the only time any kind of backup played. I don't think Bryce Ramsey had a snap on Saturday. And, look, again, you can go and read through all the snap counts at rebelgrove.com. It's for subs only. It's linked at the top of the message board. But that defense, yes, it was very bad. There's no doubt about that. But the lack of depth showed more than it has at any point this season. Arkansas ran 95 plays. And Ole Miss had multiple players play all 95 plays on Saturday on defense. I mean, you're talking about – it's just – that is an ask that it would be hard at any level for anybody. And to stay in that – it was actually pretty warm on Saturday.
It almost makes you – when you hear that number, makes you question Sam Pittman's decision a little bit.
To not extend?
To not go, hey, you guys have played 95 plays. I'm going to get you over 100.
I'm going to look at this because typically you would like your even your best players to be in the 50s,
yeah,
frankly.
No higher, like than, no higher than 60.
A.J. Finley, 95. Otis Reese, 95. Chance Campbell, 86. Sam Williams, 75. Dean Leonard, 73.
It's a lot.
I mean,
it does make you
A.J.
wonder.
And Otis played every freaking snap.
It does make you wonder. Like, I genuinely don't think either defense was stopping the other offense in overtime. It was ultimately going to come
down.
Some
two-point conversion does something.
It was
crazy.
Going to come down to a two-point play. And so you had the ability. I taught myself right back into he did the right thing.
Okay.
You had the ability to go ahead and run your play, not worry about them. You can win the game with Matt Corral standing on the sideline.
I mean, it's
so
it's,
go do it.
It's incredibly fair. I mean, I would have gone for two. Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it all weekend. I've tried to do whatever, but I've thought that.
Well, there's not a wrong decision.
Yeah.
If you go for one and you get it, obviously the game's going to go to overtime. There was no time left. And then you're probably not going to stop Corral.
Yeah.
They're probably going to score. Now you're into the whole, hey, a turnover. Someone strips a ball.
Yeah.
Defense gets really sloppy because instead
somebody misses a kick.
Instead of form tackling, now you're stripping.
Yeah. Yeah, G210. You had the same thought. I did not see you discussing that when I started talking. That's actually pretty funny. Hi, I'm Spencer Rattler. I might be second string, but Johnson's Auto is not. Look, all seriousness, Melton has played some guard. He's played some tackle. Rhodes is a graduate transfer, so that's a little more relevant. But it's a little bit of a good sign for next year. I mean, you got to replace a lot of dudes. So anybody you can get in there for a little time that is not those main five, it's a pretty big deal as you move to and look ahead to 2022 a little bit. Coming up on the week for lines, for schedules, and whatnot. What is suddenly a freaking dud of a Friday game? Clemson at Syracuse. Got Navy at Memphis this week. Scrolling through. Oregon, who's still in some semblance of playoff contention. They are at home against Cal on Friday night, if you so are inclined. 3:11 o'clock SEC games on Saturday morning. So, I mean, a plethora, because that's one too many. You shouldn't have 3:11 o'clock games. But nonetheless, you've got a Texas A&M in Missouri, in Columbia, Missouri this weekend. And this thing opened at 10. It's now at 8. Texas mm-hmm. A&M giving 8 to Missouri. You would think A&M could run and run and run and run and run.
Well, everyone
does. Just keep running. Yeah. I mean, even North Texas ran on them before it was over.
A&M's going to have a
comeback.
A&M's going to have a hell of a hangover.
Hey, you guys got to get on a plane and go to play Missouri now.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get up.
Yeah. That's going to be the methodical.
That's
one.
What she said. Yeah. Sorry.
After the big night, next day. Yeah. You can't, but it's
sometimes
another one of our
deals. You can't answer the bell. I mean, the bell rings and you're like, nope.
Not yet.
Not now.
But you, just for your own sanity, you're not going to actually lay the, you're not going to take those points and bet on Missouri,
no,
right?
No, absolutely not. Okay. I took North Texas, so of course I'm going to take Texas A&M.
Okay. Florida and LSU, it's an interesting one just to watch LSU's pain on Saturday morning, 11 o'clock in Baton Rouge. I mean, that crowd will be full. I'm telling you, how many people will be down there in Death Valley for that one at 11 o'clock in the morning?
Not many. It's bad.
Speaking of, that tells you how bad LSU is. They have an 11 a.m. home game against Florida.
And it's not the CBS game. It's the ESPN game.
Yeah. Florida opened at -5. It's now at -10 in this one. So Florida -10 against LSU.
Well, the only debate at LSU is when do you pull the trigger? And right now, according to what I'm told, I have some connections down there, their biggest issue is that they don't know where to go from here this season. If you fire Ed tomorrow, for example, who runs the program for the remaining 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a long time, by the way. Remember when Ole Miss announced it in late October? It was early November with Houston. Remember how long those 3 weeks were? And he was still there.
Yeah. Matt Moscona reporting that Ensminger does not want the job.
Yeah. I've heard the exact same thing. They don't really have a coach on the staff that's a natural fill in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Ed's lost the team. They didn't play for him. Butte got hurt 6-7 minutes to go. They can't stop anybody. Their quarterback play is average. They're a mess. Now, look, you can say, hey, we don't know how to do this. And then they lose at home to Florida where it's ugly. They come to Ole Miss and lose. In that open date, and that's frankly when I expect it, in that open date, I don't know that you can keep that up.
No. I mean, you can't.
I mean, they're not going to Alabama and winning. Frankly, they're not beating Arkansas. They don't match up with Arkansas at all. I don't care if the game's in Baton Rouge or Fayetteville or in my backyard.
Do they have an SEC win left?
No. They have one win that's a win left on the schedule, ULM. That's it, man. And here's the thing, that ULM game is going to be a loss at the gate.
Yeah.
When there's 45,000 people at Tiger Stadium, that's an L.
Yeah.
I don't care what the final score says.
Yeah.
The L is right there in the aerial.
That's the most problematic day of the season, frankly.
It really is.
Yeah.
The other game's like, oh, those are good teams. ULM's like, it doesn't matter that you beat them 42-17.
Well, look, I mean, Ed's been through this before. I mean, he lost the Ole Miss job not because he went for a fourth down against Mississippi State, because they beat Northwestern State 38-31 in front of 22,000 people.
Yeah.
That's when he got fired from Oxford.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was over.
There's no doubt about it. I was in Mobile. I was on the story. I know.
So, I mean, yeah, he's been here.
Ed Orgeron gets fired even if they beat Mississippi State.
Yeah, that was just a – you go 1-7.
That gave them an excuse to do it like the way they did it, but they were firing him anyway.
Because that was like the next day. It was like, bam.
The next morning.
Boom. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Auburn, Arkansas. Sorry, that's your CBS game on Saturday. Back in Fayetteville for the Tigers and the Razorbacks. And Arkansas is a 3.5-point favorite over Auburn in this football game. That's an interesting line. I don't know that I necessarily – I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but that line is interesting.
Not what I thought it would be. That'd be a good game. Both of those teams are going to have – they got to answer the bell. Again, we're at that point of the season where answering bells is an issue.
I have no real interest in A&M Missouri unless Missouri got weird somehow. And I think I'm like 80% of my time on Auburn and Arkansas with a 20% just watching the train wreck in Baton Rouge. It's probably how I'm splitting that morning, something like that.
I will have Auburn, Arkansas on this TV, and I'm going to put LSU, Florida on that one. And I might put Missouri on a computer somewhere just to keep an eye on it.
Yeah. Second half, and it's within 10, you go, whoa, okay.
But, yeah.
I mean, if A&M just blows out Missouri, I will never turn on that football game. I won't see a snap of it. Oklahoma State is at Texas this weekend. Pretty interesting.
Let me say this because this is in the thread.
Uh-huh, sure.
The whole $17 million thing, he's not going to get all $17 million. He's not going to get two-thirds of $17 million. Here's what's interesting about the whole back and forth with LSU and Orgeron. If LSU wants to, they believe that they have the NCAA goods on Ed to fire him with cause. Now, Ed would fight them, and then you're going to court and lawyers and all of that.
Which isn't worth it to anyone.
So there's a feeling $5-7 million buyout to make it all go away, which is pretty standard. As crazy as that sounds, I wish I could get that buyout.
Lump sum, $5 million, buy. What Houston got at the end of the day.
Yeah. And so I anticipate that happening. There's a zero chance that they fire him and hand him $17 million. There's no way.
Grind, that is a crazy stat. First time Kentucky beat an SEC team by 20-plus points since they beat Vandy in 1998.
Whoa. How about that? And Kentucky, not exactly an explosive offensive team, ran the ball all over.
Three and change,
LSU.
And Levis was fine.
Yeah, Levis was fine.
That's what he is. Yes. Penn State could use him.
Sure.
Had he stayed.
He'd be the quarterback there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I would understand that one. Let's see. Yeah, Texas-Oklahoma State this weekend. That's actually a pretty good game. They're in Austin, Texas, -5 on the Cowboys in that one. Cincinnati continuing its pursuit of trying to get into the playoff. They're a 20-point favorite over a UCF team that kind of sucks this season.
Cincy's got a real shot right now.
I think they're in. Yeah, I think went out. I know a lot of people go, no way they'll figure something out. But 10-2 Alabama, I don't think gets in ahead of 12-0 Cincinnati.
I would hope not.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm putting nothing past anybody.
If Cincy's 13-0 with the American championship
and with
there,
wins over Notre Dame and who else they beat?
Wisconsin.
That's right.
I mean, the Notre Dame win's a nice win.
It's fine, yeah.
I mean, it's a nice win.
Yeah. In South Bend.
Well, look, if Ole Miss had a win over Notre Dame in South Bend, we'd all be going, this is a hell of a good win.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, so it is for them, too. Yeah, I mean, you know, they have a couple of nice wins.
Michigan State, I think they handled this pretty well, but a little bit of a – nah, it's not even a trap game. They're just going to win, even though they're only a 3.5-point favorite. They are in Bloomington to play Indiana this weekend. Michigan State has already cashed on its over for the season. Vegas had them at 5.5, and they're 6-0. So you can already get paid if you had Michigan State on your over for the season. They're good. They're. I mean, frankly, I think there's 5 Big Ten teams in the top 10 right now in the AP Top 25, something like that. Nebraska coming off their near win against Michigan, 2.5 over Minnesota. Rutgers and Northwestern are even, if that tells you anything about how little they like Rutgers, even though they've had a decent season to this point for them. Let's see, scrolling down. Your 2:30 game, 6-0 Kentucky, undefeated Georgia there on the Plains. This tells you all you need to know about how dominant Georgia is.
Yep.
Is that Kentucky is ranked 11th in the country, and they are undefeated coming off wins against Florida and LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia opened as a 26-point favorite in this football
game. That's down to 22.5.
It's down to 22 even right now.
Okay.
Yeah, 22 even on this one. But opened at 26 for the Bulldogs and the Wildcats.
I'm just not sure Kentucky can score.
At all. Like, not once.
On them.
Yeah.
They scored everybody else.
Yeah, sure.
Not them.
Auburn did score a touchdown or two.
They did.
One.
But I think Auburn's a little better offensively than Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky's better on defense than Auburn is.
They are. Which might turn it into a little bit of a rock throwing contest for a minute, but
could.
It could also just be that snake grabbing you by the throat and holding on to you for 60 minutes is kind of what I expect. But that's a lot of points. I mean, I don't really know exactly what I'm doing in that game yet. Let's see. Scrolling on down.
I'm inclined to lay them.
I mean, I'm most likely laying them. I don't want to have Kentucky late and go, oh God, they folded like a cheap lawn chair right here, and it's doing whatever it's doing.
But you know, you do look at the rest of Kentucky's schedule.
It's a free shot right here, and then they're going to be favored the rest of the way.
Oh, they get an open date to recover mentally, physically. Hey, it's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Like they can lose and be kind of sad about it for a day or two,
and then it's all right.
And then they have a meeting like next Tuesday and go, hey, look. We can still do a lot of things. And then get back up. They get Mississippi State in Starkville, which is a tough game, but very winnable. They get Tennessee at home. They get Vanderbilt. They get New Mexico State. And they get Louisville. Dude.
They're one win over State from going 11-1.
11-1 with the one loss to the number one ranked team on the road, and you're in the Sugar Bowl.
It's also like that. Well, I mean, again, credit to them. I'm not discounting what they've done at all. They're going to have a hell of a year if they operate that way. But it's also taking advantage of such a weird SEC where your best win is beating Florida, and after that, there's not really damn much on that schedule.
No,
I mean, there's nothing else. Where, oh wow, they beat so and so. I mean,
no, there's nothing.
It's a soft ass schedule.
But you.
Credit to them, not discounting it. Just saying that's a soft.
When opportunity
schedule.
Is presented, you
Absolutely.
Strike. And they did. Or they appear that they're
and
going
it's Kentucky,
to.
Kentucky, for God's sake.
And here's the thing. And if you're Kentucky this week, you're like, hey, let's lay it all on the line. Because if we somehow win.
You're in the play. Well, you're playing Alabama or whomever.
If you somehow win.
Yeah. But now they're not going to. But.
No,
yeah, no,
but
no,
your,
I know what you mean.
But your attitude.
Hey, we have a bye week. Hey, just,
yes, yeah, your yeah, attitude yeah. is let's. You know that crazy ass play we've worked on. Let's run it.
Yeah.
You know this thing that we let's do it. Let's throw stuff at them because if we lose, we're good. But if we win, we're gold.
Yeah,
I mean you lay it all out there.
Yeah,
and then you give them off Sunday, Monday, meet sometime next Tuesday. Have a couple of little workouts. Give them the weekend off, and then come back focused and say, hey, we go to New Orleans.
Yeah. Coming off their loss to Florida State, of all people, over the weekend, North Carolina and Phil Longo at home against Miami, -6.5 for Sam Howell and the boys against the Hurricanes this week. BYU coming off a dreadful loss against Boise State. They had a legitimate chance to kind of maybe get into an Access Bowl at least.
Yeah.
That's now over. They are in Waco to play Baylor this week. Baylor,
the season,
5-point favorite.
The season typically works its way out.
Yeah, something stupid happens and it
yeah.
all works. It's all. It's
Everybody
all,
always
it's all
worries
good.
About what's going to happen.
Look, not a good game, but a sneaky decent game. Pitt at Virginia Tech on Saturday. Pitt a 4-point favorite against the Hokies. They're in an ACC game. Iowa against Purdue this week, 12.5. The Hawkeyes at home against the Boilermakers. Feel pretty good about that. If you're Iowa, I think against Purdue. The good black and gold against the bad black and gold from a uniform standpoint. Vanderbilt, South Carolina. Tells you how bad Vanderbilt is. South Carolina giving 19.5 to the Commodores this weekend, and I won't even think about taking Vanderbilt in this game.
I didn't see that game. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Okay.
Where's that game?
It is in Columbia, South Carolina.
What time?
It is at 3 o'clock.
Oh, that's the 3 o'clock game.
Yeah. That 3 o'clock SEC Network game that they absolutely bury. It is South Carolina -19.5. I mean,
eyes,
we would forgive you had you
My eyes missed that
over
one.
That one.
Yeah, my eyes missed that one, which just tells you that my eyes just didn't want to think about that game.
Yeah, it said, yeah, that one doesn't exist. No. I mean,
I'm not watching that.
I'm not sure Vanderbilt family members will watch that game, and that's pretty much it. 3 o'clock SEC Network during Kentucky and Georgia.
Jay always talks about doors walk. Yeah, that'll be like 12 people meeting them off the bus at South Carolina. Oh, God. Bless them.
Before we get into the night games, I will tell you about Northeast Spark, NESPARC.com. Sorry. They have the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio. I've got it at home as well. Or the Ignite 100 Mbps. A couple different internet packages for you. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband, 662-238-3159, phone service, parental controls, network security, a wireless mesh extender, and much more. So call their office for details. Find out how Spark can work for you. Again, that's nespark.com, 662-238-3159.
Pinpoint Commercial Real Estate is based out of Jackson. They service the entire state and all commercial asset classes such as retail, office, industrial, and land. Sam Cox and B.B. Mitchell are Ole Miss grads. They utilize their unique skill sets to execute on assignments and increase value for their clients. This week's spotlight is on the Village at Madison. It will feature roughly 60,000 square feet of Class A restaurant, retail, medical, and professional office space, along with roughly 75 zero-lot line residences, with Pinpoint handling the leasing for the commercial portion of the development. It's located on the corner of Madison Parkway and Main Street in Madison. Cobblestone streets, iron railings, gas lighting will serve as signature elements of the development. If you'd like to learn more about this great opportunity, give BB and Sam a call at 601-586-3220. Blue Delta Jeans makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they're uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi, one size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Go to their virtual tailor on their website, and you can get measured and design your very own jeans in just a matter of minutes. And then enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 10% off the most comfortable jeans I've ever worn. You will love yours, too. We're also brought to you by Lammons Fine Jewelry. Lammons, located at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford, has been serving the Oxford area for almost 75 years. From engagement rings to wedding rings to fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, children's jewelry, collectibles, and more, it's the gold standard in fine jewelry. Visit them at lammonsfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. And we're brought to you by Comer Heating and Air and Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer 662-801-1777. Or if you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call Southern 662-429-4429. Look at the weather forecast. You can see the cooler weather is kind of coming as we get into the middle of October, start getting closer to November and December. You want to make sure that heating system that you have not given a single fleeting thought to over the past several months, you want to make sure it's ready to go when you have to hit that button. So get in touch with Comer, get in touch with Southern. You'll be glad you did. The College Corner is your one-stop Rebel shop. Two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, the College Corner is next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's okay. Go to College Corner at collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day with the largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. And we're brought to you by Pinnacle. Pinnacle based in Madison as well. Founded in 1997, they provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and so much more. It's mypinwealth.com, mypinnwealth.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Nick's Tan and Associates. That's nickstanoxford.com for your website. To find out all you need to know about the buy side or the sell side here locally right now in real estate, I've used them multiple times. Give them a shot as well. Clay DeWeese, Keith Graham, and their team of associates that will help you throughout all sides of the process, as I said, here in Oxford. That's 662-281-1200. You can also click the link in my message board or in the 321 content item this week as well. So that's nickstanoxford.com. Go to the website, find everything you need to know about real estate here in Oxford. Alabama, Mississippi State. That is a 6 o'clock start on Saturday. This thing opened at Alabama -20.5 in Starkville. It's been bet down a little bit. Now Alabama -17 against the Bulldogs. on the road. I'm a little surprised it came down. I mean, even though Alabama lost to Texas A&M, there's not not much way here I could take State. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I'm not taking State to win the game, but cover the line.
Maybe.
Alabama's kind of weird.
But can they do anything that A&M did? It's such a different matchup. We've been talking about matchups, so.
I don't know that they can dominate the line of scrimmage the way that A&M did, certainly. But now State's got a good defense that can take some things away from you. State's salty, potentially.
What's their schedule left?
They've got Alabama at home, at Vanderbilt, Kentucky at home, at Arkansas, at Auburn, Tennessee State, and Ole Miss at home. Tough.
It was going to be very tough.
Yeah.
So what do you have them finishing?
Got them losing to Bama, beating Vanderbilt, losing to Kentucky, losing to Arkansas, losing to Auburn, beating Tennessee State, and probably losing to Ole Miss.
Okay, so not going
I don't really believe in
them. So not going well.
No, I do think they have a good defense, and their defense gives them a chance in a bunch of games. And so you can't.
But they refuse to run the football.
You can't just completely discard them. But yeah, there are some teams that are susceptible to the run that they're not going to run on. Like, I think their matchup with Arkansas, for example, with Ole Miss is not particularly good.
Well, sure.
Because you're not going to run on those teams. Yeah, you can run on those teams, and yet you're going to refuse to.
Yeah.
You sort of
playing into their strengths.
You play into their strengths, yeah.
Liberty and ULM this weekend for all those wants to see Hugh, wants to see Neil's alma mater. A lot of stuff going on there. Liberty giving 32 down in Monroe. You know, Malik Willis, who apparently is like the best quarterback in the world.
Yeah.
I got a feeling.
He's a good fit in Monroe.
Oh. I got a feeling Matt would probably light up Middle Tennessee last week.
They'll enjoy that Holiday Inn out there on 167. Been there since like the 20s.
Think they'll get like some Johnny's Pizza and stuff while they're in town?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let me see. Hold on. Check something real quick.
What are you checking?
I'm just going to see what other kind of amenities are there.
In Monroe?
Uh-huh. Hold on. Oriental. Let's see what we got.
You hitting a blank there?
No, I got a couple.
See?
Yeah. Relax. Spa. Also, just one that just best Asian massage.
Okay.
A balanced,
that's in Monroe, not Ruston, though.
Yeah, those. That's one's in Monroe, one's in West Monroe. A Body Works massage and spa.
Okay.
It's in Monroe. Spa Bella, but okay. That's nice in West Monroe, right across the river there.
Okay.
Yeah.
6:30. From Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Lane Kiffin making his return. Ole Miss and the Volunteers. This is about what I thought. Ole Miss opening up on the road is a 3-point favorite. It is still sitting at 3 right now in this one. The more important number, it ties the SEC record from just a couple weeks ago involving Ole Miss. The over-under set at 79.5 in this game.
I like the over.
You like the over 79.5? You good there?
I mean, if I told you it's 52-49. Are you remotely surprised?
Odd Shark says Ole Miss will win, cover the spread, and the total will go under, is what they predict in this game.
What is their score?
45-32, Rebels.
They nailed the Ole Miss number last week. They had Ole Miss scoring 51 points on Arkansas.
Yeah, and they did.
Now, they had Arkansas in the 30s.
Yeah. They're giving Ole Miss a lot of defensive credit more than they've shown in the last couple weeks.
What do they have here again? Tell me that score.
45-32, or technically 33. 45-33. Think?
Yeah, it sounds about right. Maybe about right. I mean, I'm taking Ole Miss and laying the 3 points. I feel like that's a pretty good bet. Tennessee has beaten, you know,
Missouri and South Carolina.
Missouri and South Carolina. They played Florida okay for a little while.
Sure.
I mean, he's done a nice job.
64% of the early money is on Ole Miss to cover. In Vegas.
Yeah, I just cannot imagine that Ole Miss has anything resembling a letdown for this game.
There's hardly any value. There's no value at all in money lines because it's only a 3-point line. It's Ole Miss minus 150, Tennessee plus 135. Nothing of any note there.
No, no.
Yeah, 79 or 79 and a half are the two over-unders you can get right now. That's it.
Tennessee can run. Oh, they've been able to run on the last couple of teams they've played.
They are averaging 252 yards on the ground per game. Ole Miss averaging 259. Ole Miss averaging 302 yards through the air. Tennessee averaging 220.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss averaging 46 points per game. Tennessee averaging 41 points per game. Both of them run as many plays as humanly possible. Both yeah. teams averaging 26 minutes of time of possession per game. So they both average getting beat by about 8 minutes of game time on time.
Oh, it's a track meet now.
Yeah, like nobody's slowing down here on Saturday. No. It's we're going.
This will not be a marathon. It will be just a series of sprints.
Yeah, nobody's going into the huddle and waiting until 4 seconds are left on the play clock and all that kind of stuff. It's moving. Ole Miss averaging 7.35 yards per play this season. Good God. Tennessee averaging 6.3. So something there. I mean, it's a matchup of two really good offenses. Tennessee's found itself a little bit, even though it hadn't played some stud team. But, I mean, it's not like Ole Miss's defense is a ton better than the teams that it has played to this point. Ole Miss, the number 4 scoring offense in the country. Tennessee at number 7. That's it. Even this year, Ole Miss still well ahead in rushing yards than passing yards from a standpoint of simply a national ranking. Ole Miss 5th in the country in rushing. They are 18th in passing.
That was a good sign for them. They got some other people involved in the passing game Saturday.
Dennis had a big catch.
It was a big catch.
They got Plumlee involved with really good schemes, I thought. I thought they gave him really good routes, yeah. ways to get out in space, to do some things with his feet. Look, it's not going to do a ton, but just showing Chase Rogers doing some things off of that tight end position is
sure.
critical,
sure.
I thought. I thought that was good to kind of get on film for them to move it forward. I don't know what the ceiling is, but Pearson has at least settled into that role here with whatever Mingo's situation is.
Pearson did a couple of nice things. I'm fascinated to see how Ole Miss uses Ely if Ely's available this weekend. I mean, concussion protocol can keep you out several weeks.
Can.
It doesn't always. It doesn't usually, but it can, and it's not exactly infrequent.
And I have no idea.
No.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell people I'm not spending this week doing it. Chasing injury rumors? Nope. Not this week.
You sure?
Positive. 1,000,000,000%.
Okay.
You can.
Both teams 500 against the spread so far this season. I'm just looking for any kind of stat. There's really not one, frankly. This game's pretty straightforward. It's kind of right in front of our face, if you will. So.
That's no, all. Look, I mean, Ole Miss, it gets about to get pretty interesting. I mean, they should win at Tennessee. They should beat LSU at home.
And then
Auburn's going to be, woo.
It's going to be a game right there.
That's big game, man.
Yeah.
Right, looking at games that week, Georgia, Florida, so that's the CBS game.
Yep.
Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Starkville's an interesting game.
That feels 6:30.
Auburn, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Missouri is a 3 o'clock SEC Network game.
Wherever you can.
Ole Miss, Auburn's got 11 a.m. written all the F over it.
Got a chance.
Yeah.
It's do they want Kentucky State or Auburn Ole Miss?
You want Auburn Ole Miss.
Yeah.
It's a much more appealing game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the only way that you would do anything differently is if Kentucky were to win Saturday. Well, then all of a sudden.
Then you got national Cinderella.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, if Kentucky were to win, and they're not going
they're
to.
They're ranked, third in the country. Or
at least.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they would be 7-0 with.
A win over Georgia.
With wins over Florida, LSU, and Georgia. And
nobody else got that resume.
I mean, nobody had exactly. Kentucky go, who else can top it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a better resume than Iowa at that point. It's a better resume than Cincinnati at that
Oklahoma,
point.
Oklahoma, whomever.
Yeah, I mean, I would vote Kentucky number one if they did that.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Let's see. TCU, Oklahoma, speaking of. I mean, Oklahoma just skin to their teeth every single week. I mean, they're not great, but they're fine. Oklahoma minus 12 against the Horned Frogs there in Norman. Dud game. This slate's not very good. That's really it. There's nothing late night that is even a little bit appealing. I mean, you got UCLA, Washington. I could not care less.
Arizona State, Utah is a fairly interesting game.
Oh, I did miss that. Yeah. Utah minus Actually, Vegas has taken it off the board. It opened at 1.5, but that has now gone off the board.
Oh, really? I had it at Arizona State -1.
So there is an injury somewhere that has that off the board. Yeah, online books still have it up, but Vegas has pulled it. So they know something. I don't know who's banged up. Arizona State is 7-1 straight up in their last 8 games. So not much at night, but we will not start till around 10, something like that. That's the thing too. That clock is not going to run like crazy on.
No, it's got a chance to be a full 4-hour contest.
It's gonna be a minute. Just saying.
I'm not gonna lie. I did enjoy being done at 6.
That was all right. Yeah, that was.
I actually finished uploading videos and stuff. It was 7:00.
You're like, whew.
Yeah, I watched the end.
Instead of being at the end of the first quarter.
Watched the end of my boys.
Yeah.
Beating Penn State.
Yeah.
In dramatic fashion.
I gave Neil the stat before we started the show. Don't ever discuss parity at the top of college football. The number one ranking in the AP Top 25 has been in the possession of just a few teams over the last 6 seasons. Alabama 63 times, Clemson 23 times, Ohio State 10, LSU 8 are the only teams to reach number one since 2015 until Saturday, when Georgia took over the slot. My God.
Yeah, no, it's Alabama's dominated the sport.
Ole Miss moves up to number 13 in the AP Top 25.
Ole Miss and 17. Arkansas traded spots.
Oh, yeah, sure. They did. Georgia, Iowa, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, Alabama.
Who'd you say was number 2?
The Hawkeyes.
Iowa, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Iowa.
Little engines and whatnot. Ohio State at 6.
I'm getting to Iowa for a game next year. I'm somehow finding a way.
Okay.
Just telling you.
Penn State at 7, Michigan at 8, Oregon at 9, Michigan State at 10, Kentucky 11, Oklahoma State 12. Again, Oklahoma State at 12, and they're a 5-point underdog in Austin this week. Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Coastal Carolina at 15. But it feels like they just hit their ceiling. Like, no matter who they beat, you can't just keep
bumping. Well, they don't play anybody.
I mean,
I'm friends with the chancellor, and I just can't do it.
They play Liberty this year, at least?
I don't know.
Later?
I don't know.
I don't either. Yeah, just curious. So Arkansas at 17.
I'd get some
Florida,
coastal gear for that game.
Florida at 20, A&M at 21. SMU 6-0 still, and then Texas at 25. So Dave Dorn at 22 with the
Wolfpack. Yeah, no, they've done. He's done a nice job there.
He's
good.
He's fine. He's good.
Would have been a better hire than what they did here in 2017, yeah. And there's no way around it. We can do the whole revisionist history of, well, it all worked out because you got Kiffin. Yep, I get it. But when process gets screwed up. Process gets screwed up, and they screwed up process.
Oh, sure.
There's no way around that.
Yeah,
he would have done a much better job of stabilizing.
Yeah, look at where people have Ole Miss in a second. Assuming that is updated. First, talk about G&M Pharmacy and Tyson Drugs. G&M, they're on South Lamar in Oxford. 662-236-2222. Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs. They deliver locally in the Oxford area, and they offer MedSync. Fill your prescriptions the same day each month and take care of you. No matter if it's one trip to the pharmacy or one delivery, you have everything you need when you need it and on a schedule. Also, with Right Way Meds, they will individually package your medication for those who need that. That can save lives in certain circumstances. So, plenty of options here with G&M and Tyson Drugs. Again, that's 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis, part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits, simply not available to other travelers. Get in touch with John, give him some parameters, give him a budget. He'll give you a ton of options to make your special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. It's 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
I'll have a mailbag up on Wednesday. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. Podcast also brought to you by Service Specialists with offices in Ridgeland, Canton, Jackson, and Oxford. Service Specialists has been connecting candidates and employers since 1967 as the oldest staffing company in Mississippi. Whether you are a new college grad or a seasoned professional, whether you're in engineering, dentistry, accounting, law, manufacturing, human resources, or more, you should contact Service Specialists. If you're a recent grad without much experience, reach out to them. They're always looking for candidates that have potential and want to learn and get their foot in the door with growth opportunities. Look, Mississippi's a small state. Service Specialist always knows about jobs that never get advertised. Prospective employers are looking for strong candidates, and they should call too, because Service Specialist always has names and resumes ready for your perusal. It's 662-832-5138 or go to servicespecialistltd.com. Also brought to you by Alpha Specialties, located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. It's your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it at Alpha. They're the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trail. They've also got Hallmark cargo trailers. They can also work with third parties to have game day trailers and construction trailers built just for you. 601-932-9798 or alphaofms.com. I'll be talking to Chance Campbell this afternoon. I'll bring that to you later in the day. That is brought to you by The Rogue. The Rogue is your destination for fine men's clothing. They're stylist hand-select pieces from top designers from work to lifestyle to nightlife. There's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey True Grit, and more at The Rogue. 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com. And we're brought to you by Joey Erickson at Heron Gear Autoplex. Let Joey help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevrolet, BMW, Lexus, and Infiniti, or get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles. Give Joey a call or text on his cell at 662-571-2367. Tell him what you're looking for. Stop by 1685 High Street in Jackson and test drive that new or used vehicle you've been wanting. And let Joey earn your business. And by the way, this Iowa blasphemy in the thread so, is not going to be tolerated for too much longer.
They're a cute team. Ole Miss as high as number 7 in a ballot, low as number 20 is where they're sitting right now. Ended up here.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Nate Meek, who covers I guess Cincinnati, maybe. Not Cincinnati, sorry. Syracuse Media Group, Syracuse, New York. His main biases are toward TCU and against Marshall and Virginia Tech over the years. Poll Tracker tells you who the biases typically are.
All right.
He dropped Arkansas. I don't know where he dropped them from. He still has Arkansas 8. He has Ole Miss 7, Arkansas 8 in his
it's too high.
In his poll.
But I get it.
Yeah, they have him extreme pick to there.
Well, here's the thing about Arkansas that they can say. Arkansas's played one hell of a schedule at this point.
They've done that now.
I mean, they've played Texas A&M, Georgia, and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And only one of those games at their home stadium. And now they play Auburn.
Yeah, they really would have liked to have gotten this schedule out of the way when one of the years they sucked, because you only play Georgia 1 out of 6 years.
Yeah.
You'd like for that not to have been right now. That'd have been,
yeah,
that'd
they're
have been
still in pretty good shape. If they could find a way to beat Auburn at home on Saturday, they get Pine Bluff and then a weekend off. Then they get Mississippi State at home. Then they go to LSU.
But here's the deal.
And they'll lose to Alabama, but they should beat Missouri. And 9-3 is a major accomplishment.
Well, I was about to say, here's the thing they've got to keep in mind, too. I mean, if we talk about therapy for Ole Miss, therapy for Arkansas fans, as absolute worst case, you're going 7-5. You would have killed.
Sure.
For 7-5 with wins over Texas and Texas A&M going into the season.
Sure. Oh, listen.
It's cool.
And the people that keep trying to do this, they're a fluke thing. And the only thing that drives me insane, can I just tell you the thing that drives me nuts? Well, he's only good because he has good coordinators. Yes, that's part of the point of hiring the coordinators. Well, they're only good because they have a good quarterback. Did they recruit the quarterback?
I mean, what does that mean?
I mean, if Alabama didn't have all those five stars, it'd be pretty average. Well, they get to play. Well,
yeah, it's why they recruit them, so that they won't be average. Is game day back in Athens this week?
I have no idea.
No, I have no idea either.
I haven't seen it.
Show, I've tried to watch it this year some, is awful.
It's a college football version of Mike and Mike. It just sits on and it kind of sets up some stuff, and it's a warm pillow that begins your day. I mean, I'm not watching it, whatever, but yeah, I guess it serves its purpose, is what I guess. Let's see, I had Ole Miss up. Eric Hansen, whoever the hell that is, he has them 8th. Bunch of people from there. They're most popular at 13, 14, and 15. And then the lowest ranking is by the two lowest rankings. John Clay has them at 18, and Kirk Bowles has them at 20. He covers Texas, I know. I don't know who John Clay is.
John Clay's Kentucky.
Is that Kentucky? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's that guy?
Okay. I think so.
Yeah, that is correct. Lexington Herald leader.
That's fine. I mean, look, they
– It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. There is not one single vote in there that you go, okay. Crazy.
Yeah,
it's fine. There are some nutty ones.
I think I have them at 10.
Like John Clay dropped Arkansas all the way down to 25. It's like
feels extreme.
But what's dumb about that is, like you said, and it would have gone either way how that 2-point conversion goes. It goes the other way, and they're like 6th. It's like, well,
yeah, and according to him, if Ole Miss gives up that play, they're 25th.
Yeah,
like come on.
I mean, it's so stupid. So anyway, there's that. Kind of curious who has Coastal where. Okay, Kirk Bowles, speaking of, has Coastal the highest of anyone in the country at 9. So he has Coastal 11 spots ahead of Ole Miss. One person still does not have Coastal ranked at all, and then they have several votes.
And I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean,
because they're not beating anybody.
I mean, literally. Just kind of curious here. Coastal's remaining schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious. So far, their wins this season are over the Citadel, Kansas, Buffalo, UMass, ULM, Arkansas State, the remaining schedule, Appalachian State. They could lose that game.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Troy, Georgia Southern, mm-mm, Georgia State,
mm-mm,
Texas State, and they, mm-mm, close in Mobile against South Al.
Come on.
That's their schedule. I will never be. I mean,
what day is the South Al game?
Like I say, I really like Kane Womack anyway. I will be a huge Jag fan that day.
What's the date on that game?
That is a November 26th Friday game. After
it's the day after the Egg Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Go Jags. How's Kane doing?
I don't know.
How's South Al?
I'm not sure. Hardman, it was a mistake on Ohio State. I went back and fixed it and put them in.
You didn't intentionally leave them out.
No, they're a top 20. They're a top 10-ish team.
South Al is 3-2.
Okay.
They won 3 to open the year, and they've lost 2 in a row.
If it weren't such a drive, I would drive down there for that game.
They have 2 2-point losses for their 2 losses this season. Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns beat them 20-18.
Yeah.
And Texas State beat them 33-31 in San Marcos.
I don't know the details on it, but I have seen some people say the Texas State game was a screwing of royal proportion.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like something happened with the officiating.
They have a really tough close. Their last 3, Appalachian State in Boone, Tennessee in Knoxville, and Coastal.
Yeah.
That's a tough close there for Kane in year one. But
Blue Streak is – I'm forgiving him a little bit for the Iowa blasphemy, but he says that Memphis wants Hugh Freeze, and Hugh Freeze would be a perfect fit for Memphis. That's where he needs to go.
Really?
Yes. That would be if they'll pay him. Here's the thing. Is Memphis going to pay like Liberty pays? Is Memphis going to pay a football coach $3 million a year? What do they pay the cat now?
Hot take, I'd rather be at Liberty than Memphis.
Well, I would too. Now, Memphis lets him play in a higher profile league. Although the Americans.
But you're an independent.
Although the Americans not going to be as high profile when everybody bolts.
Yeah.
And everybody's bolting.
Yeah. Yeah, their top 4 teams are going to the freaking Big 12.
But the media up there is absolute salivating all over you, no matter who you are, except for Jeffrey. And bless his heart, he's probably wanting to shoot things sometimes, but.
fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But most of the media up there, if you're the Memphis football coach, the media is bowing in front of you.
Yeah. We'll look at some NFL tomorrow, run through.
We're going to have a weird schedule in the morning unless you're doing something different, because remember, I've got a medical thing in the morning.
That's right. Okay, we'll figure it out. We'll let you know what's going on. So, but anyway, nonetheless, NFL as the week goes on, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and more moving forward. So as we head toward Knoxville on Saturday, Lane Kiffin at noon today, have a good day, and we'll talk to you again very soon.